Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday evening service online. This is my first time, so this is really a new experience for me. I have really missed you all, and I have thought about you all, prayed for you all, and I have really missed the small children a lot. And I'm hoping and waiting for that moment when we will be back together in the church and we can hug each other without any reservations, right? So today evening I'd like to, let's turn to the Bible, to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. And I'll read, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." I want to read it again. And let's look into to the screen and say it loudly. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this evening. We pray for your presence to minister to us, Lord, as we listen to your word, that you would speak to each one of us, to our hearts personally, Lord. You would refresh us. You would minister to us. You would edify us and encourage us, Lord. And you would give us a spirit of refreshment, Lord, as we hear your word. We thank you for your love, Lord. We thank you that your word says that you are in control of all things. We thank you that we can simply trust you, Lord, and believe you. And look to you, Lord. Speak to our hearts today. Minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen. This evening, I would like to speak on the subject of joy. And I've been meditating on this subject this past few days as we've been at home. And what does this subject mean to us? What does joy mean to us in our current circumstances? When we look at the Bible and when you read the Bible, there are many places where joy is mentioned. And in our first point today, we see there is joy in the Bible because of what God does. Joy in the Bible because of what God does. And historically, in the history of Israel, we see there are specific places in the Bible, specific events which have happened in the Bible, where there was something which God did and there was tremendous joy. And the first example we can see is in 1 Samuel 18 and verse 6. And the background is that David has killed Goliath. He has won that victory. And in 1 Samuel 18, 6, the people are coming back to meet Saul and they are singing with joy. There is joy because of the victory over Goliath. And that's a beautiful event, a place, based upon what God did, that there was joy. The other example we can see is in 1 Chronicles 15, 25, where it says that David and his people went with great joy to bring the Ark of the Lord from Obed-Edom's house. There was great joy. And that is also an event in the Bible. And in the New Testament, we see in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, that the angels, they say to the shepherds, "We bring you good tidings of great joy." And they are talking about Jesus' birth. So we see in the Bible that there is joy based upon what God does in the Bible. And these are events, and they happen at a point in time. And I want to repeat that point again. These are events, and they happen at a point in time. When we think about our own lives, we can also think about certain events which happen to us at a point in time. For example, being born again It is an event. It happens at a point in time. Or graduating from college. Or marriage. It happens at a point in time. Or our first job. Or the birth of our first child. These are all events. When we buy our first bike or car or first home. As Christians, for us, Christmas and Easter are events, festivals we look forward to. For us in the Greater Grace Church, conferences bring us great joy. And also for some of us, convention, for those of us who go for convention every year in June, that brings us great joy. Water baptisms can bring great joy when people take water baptism in the church. Mission trips can bring great joy. And for us, historically, when our new church building was completed, it brought us great joy. These are events. And sometimes, as Christians, we can live from one event to the next event. We can live from one event to the next event. And this is really something for us to think about. Do I live my life this way? From one event to the next event. For example, am I waiting for the lockdown to end to experience joy in my life? Or am I thinking that on April 15th, when this is all over and we can go out freely, then I will have joy in my life? And this kind of thinking is wrong. Because we can have joy on a daily basis and on a moment-by-moment basis. So that's the first point. Joy because of what God does. And all of us can testify and confess that in some way, these things which I have mentioned have happened to us. For all of us, the born-again experience has happened to us. For some of us, most of us, graduation, some of us, marriage. These things have happened to us, and these are events where we, at points in time, we experience God's joy in our life and in the church. The second point we see is joy because of who God is. Joy because of who God is. In the Bible, joy is based upon a personal relationship with the living God. Joy is never based upon favorable situations or favorable circumstances. I want to repeat that point. In the Bible, joy is based upon a personal relationship with the living God. Now, one thing which is very important is this personal relationship can never be touched by unfavorable situations or unfavorable circumstances. But the only thing which affects this personal relationship is sin. And this is very important. And in our sub-point of point two, the first point is sin. In Psalm 51, verse 8 and 12, this is what it says. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. This is David's prayer of repentance after his sin with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah. Now this is really important for us to understand that sin cannot touch our relationship with God, but it breaks our fellowship with God. And what is the result? There is a loss of joy. Now this is very important for us to understand that a lifestyle of sin or disobedience leads to discipline from God. And this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So this is the progression we see in Psalm 51. There is repentance, which is change of mind to the word of God. There is confession, agreeing with God that what I have done is wrong. There is restoration. In 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And what is the result? There is joy. That's incredible. There is joy. Joy. And in Nehemiah 8:10, the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy. That's a very popular verse. But many people don't understand the context of the verse. In Nehemiah, this is the last group of people who have come back with Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 8, Ezra reads the law. And then in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 8 and 9, as the people hear the words of the law, they start weeping profusely. And the reason why they are weeping profusely is because they remember their national disobedience to the law of God. And they remember that it was because of that they went into captivity. But now they have been restored and they have been brought back. And Ezra and Nehemiah and the Levitical priests encourage them and say, today is a holy day. Please do not weep because the joy of the Lord is your strength. See, they were restored. And because they were restored, they could have joy. And then it says in verse 11 and 12, they go around, they celebrate, they distribute food. And they also were joyful because they understood the words of the law. So it is very important for us to understand today that nothing can touch our relationship with God on an experiential level but experiential sin. And we must be very careful about that subject. We must be very careful to rebound immediately, to confess it quickly, and to live in an unbroken fellowship with the Lord. Because what does that produce? It produces joy in our relationship with God. The second sub-point we can see under joy because of who God is situations. Situations. And when we are rightly related to God, our joy can never be touched by adverse or bad situations or circumstances. And our joy cannot be touched by the lockdown that we are facing. It cannot be touched. In our first example, in situations, we see in Luke chapter 24 and verse 52, the Bible says, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. With great joy. What is the background? The background of this verse starts in verse 13. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And we see that Jesus meets with them in a disguised way. And in verse 17 he says, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? And what is the background of Luke 24? The tomb is empty. And these two disciples cannot understand what to make of it. And therefore they are sad. And they also tell Jesus their disappointment in verse 21. We were hoping that it was he was going to redeem Israel. And what they were trying to say is, we were hoping that the Lord Jesus would free us from Roman rule. That was their disappointment, that it didn't happen. And as you read the passage, we see that Jesus talks with them and he expounds the scriptures to them. And then you see later on, he appears to them and again he expounds the scriptures from the law, the prophets and the Psalms concerning himself. And then he is raised up before them and they understand now what has happened. They understand why the tomb is empty. They understand his resurrection. And because they understand his resurrection, we see in verse 52, as he was lifted up into heaven, they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So today, we can have great joy because God gives us understanding about his word. God gives us understanding about the resurrection. We can have great joy today knowing this fact that our place is secure in heaven. It is secure that Jesus paid for all our sins, past, present, and future. He washed us in his precious blood. And when we believed in him, he forgave us all our sins and he gave us an assured place in heaven. He made us his sons and his daughters. And we can have what? We can have great joy because we understand this. We can have great joy because we understand that we don't have to be worried about death because Jesus has conquered death, and after death we are going to be in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, understanding the scriptures is so important. As we are in this situation currently, we can read the scriptures and ask God to give us understanding. Yes, we do not understand what is happening, why this lockdown has happened. But God can speak to us and give us understanding through his word. In Jeremiah 15:16, this is what Jeremiah says. It's a beautiful verse. He says this: "Your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." And if you read verse 21, "I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible." This is God having a conversation with Jeremiah, and Jeremiah having a conversation with God. And God is telling Jeremiah that he is going to judge his people with a nation who is worse than Israel because of Manasseh's sin. And Jeremiah gets upset here, but here he confesses that because he's understood what God is doing, therefore he says, "Your word to me was the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." And then God gives him a promise that even though this discipline is going to come on the nation of Israel, that "I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked and I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible." Today as we are at home, maybe we are eating simple food, doesn't matter. What is important is we can eat the word of God and we can have what? Great joy. Hallelujah. Luke 24:52. We can have great joy because God, through his Holy Spirit, gives us understanding of the scriptures. You know, as born again Christians, it's such a privilege that we know where we are going after death. That we are not anxious or worried about death. We know that God is watching over us and he's caring for us. And we don't have to worry about what is happening in the world. We don't have to worry about the virus because God is the one who protects us. And God is the one who keeps us. And God is the one who loves us. And because we have this understanding today, we can have great joy. Amen? We can have great joy. The second example under situations we can see is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. And we read this verse. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord." And there is a small word here. Always. It is not saying rejoice in the Lord when you have good situations. It is not saying rejoice in the Lord at events when good events happen. No, it is saying rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Now, what is important to understand is, where is Paul writing this from? And it's a very interesting contrast that Paul is in prison. This is the first Roman imprisonment. In Acts chapter 28, verse 30 and 31, this is approximately AD 61 to 63, where he was under house arrest in Rome. And we see that it is here that he wrote the prison epistles, which is he wrote Ephesians, he wrote Colossians, he wrote Philemon, and he wrote Philippians. And that is the contrast. What is the contrast? The contrast is, he's under house arrest. He's no more free, though people can visit him and he talks to them. But he's saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." So, the rejoicing is not in the situation or the circumstance. The rejoicing is in the Lord. And we, you and I today, it is not our lockdown. It is not that we are cooped up in our homes. We can't go out. We can't travel. We can't do this and that. But it is understanding that we can rejoice in the Lord and we can rejoice in Him always. And that's also what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It says, rejoice always or rejoice evermore. It's a present imperative active in both places, in Philippians 4:4 as well as in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. And God is commanding us, I constantly command you to continuously rejoice in me. And what does this mean to us? This means when you read the book of Philippians, there are many, many mentions of the word joy. There are many mentions of the word rejoice. And what Paul is trying to communicate here is that our joy is not in favorable circumstances or situations, but our joy is in this personal relationship that we have in the Lord. And this personal relationship cannot be touched by a pandemic. It cannot be touched by war. It cannot be touched by discipline. It cannot be touched by government norms or rules or decisions. It cannot be touched by that. It cannot be touched by bad health. Even if one of us were to get the coronavirus, it cannot touch this relationship. And that is so incredibly encouraging. And Paul is saying, hey, rejoice in the Lord always. Today, as you are at home, and you're watching this, you and I can have a heart attitude, can have an attitude in our minds that, hey, we are going to rejoice in the Lord. Yes, maybe freedom is taken away. Maybe we cannot come to church or go to work. That's okay. But hey, the Lord is with us. The Lord loves us. The Lord is encouraging us. And we can what? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say we can rejoice. In our third point, we see that joy is a result of a personal communion with God. Joy is a result of a personal communion with God. In Psalm 16, verse 11, which is a popular verse, there are songs written on that verse. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Many times we have sung this song, in your presence is fullness of joy. When we read this verse, and if you read this psalm, this is a psalm of David. And David is contrasting the people who believe in the Lord and who are focused on the Lord and who are worshiping the Lord. They have joy. And he's contrasting them with people who go after idols. In verse 4, their sorrow shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. So he's contrasting that. And he's saying that the ones who really focus on the Old Testament God, Yahweh of the Old Testament, and they're focused on him, they can have this joy. And he says in verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. So it talks about a fixed focus on the Lord. Now this is joy as a result of personal communion. When we are focused on the Lord, when we read our Bibles, when we have our morning devotionals, when we meditate on the Word of God, when we listen to a message, when we pray, we see that in God's presence, when we worship, there is fullness of joy. And that is so beautiful for each one of us. And this has been my experience, and I'm sure it has been your experience too, that many times when we have come to the church, when we have sung songs to the Lord, and at a certain point in the worship, we have sensed the presence of God in the room and in our hearts. And this is what the Bible is saying. Joy as a result of a personal communion with God. We have sensed the presence of God as the word has been spoken. We have sensed the presence of God in our prayer meetings and in our private prayer times. And this is so beautiful. And what we see here is, this is a result of a personal communion with God. And John chapter 15 illustrates how this works through the parable of the vine and the branches. And Jesus says that he is the true vine and we are the branches. And then he says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. So the what is important is to abide in the Lord, to have fellowship with the Lord, to have a deep communion with God. And what does that do? That does a couple of things. In verse 7, if you abide in me and my remas abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So when we abide in the Lord and when we are having a personal communion with him, our prayer life is according to his word, and the prayers get answered because they are according to his word and according to his will. What else does happen? We start bearing fruit in verse 8, much fruit. In verse 9, we abide in his love, his agape love. In verse 10, we keep his commandments and abide in his love. And in verse 11, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is such a beautiful passage because John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11, it is just God and me and nobody in between. Then in verse 12, we say, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We cannot love one another unless we first receive God's love and we reciprocate that love back to him and we allow God to fill our cup, and that our cup would run over with his agape love. Then we can love one another. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love and the second one is joy. So it is a fruit. It is a byproduct. It is a result of a personal communion with God. So as we see here, just to recap the 3 points. Number one, joy is a result. Joy is because of what God does. Number two, joy is because of who God is. And number three, joy is a result of a personal communion with God. And in conclusion today, what can we learn from this message? Or what are the applications we can make? The first one we can do as we are at home during this time of rest and quietness is meditating on the work of salvation. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, it is so great a salvation. When you read through the pages of the Bible, you read through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can meditate on his death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection, because it was a once and for all sacrifice. It was a once and for all event. And it gave us abiding results because of that. It's a perfect tense, which means those privileges and results and blessings continue to us forever. And what are the blessings? One is, because of that, we are eternally secure. We are eternally secure. And we can meditate on the work of salvation. If you are having a little depression because you are cooped up in the house, or frustration, or any kind of such emotion, you can just think about what Jesus did for you and me on the cross. And that thinking and that understanding that we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, that itself will bring joy to us. Amen. So that is the first thing we can do. We can meditate on the subject of salvation in the Bible. The second thing we can do is we can thank God for past blessings. This is a good time to remember what God has done in the past. You know, as we sing that song, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what God has done, right? Count your blessings. You know, thank God for your salvation. Thank God for your family, your spouse, your children. Thank God for your friends. Thank God for the body of Christ, for the Bible, for the indwelling Holy Spirit. Thank God for the many prayers which were answered in the past, the healings, whether physical or spiritual. We can constantly thank God. Thank God. In everything give thanks in 1 Thessalonians 5. And for everything give thanks in Ephesians 5:20. We can thank God for past blessings. The third thing we can learn from this is being rightly related to him. This is a very important point. This is an extremely important point. Sometimes as Christians, we justify to ourselves a certain aspect of disobedience in our lives. And that's what James 1:22 says. When we hear the word and we don't do it, we are deceiving ourselves. The word is paralogizomai. That means we are crediting it to another path, right? And this is so very important that we wouldn't give ourselves any kind of justification to live in any aspect of disobedience or to live in any aspect of sin. Now, this is important. Our fellowship with God breaks even because of the smallest sin. It doesn't have to be the sin of adultery or murder or theft or some big sin or perjury. It can be even the tiniest thing, a small thought of unbelief, a small thought of negativity, any small sin, a lie in my mind or on my mouth can break my fellowship with God. And it's important to be rightly related to Him. And it's important to also consider the subject of sin. Now, one of the things also to keep in mind, it is also important, as we read Psalm 16, to examine our hearts and see during this period of time whether we have entertained any spiritual idol in our life. Whether we have made money our idol, or we have made our work our idol, or our ambition or our dreams our idol, or we have made a relationship our idol, or any other thing an idol before God, or even some aspect of sin in our life an idol. In Hebrews 11:27, it says, there is pleasure in sin for a season. So there is definitely pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. Because the wages of sin is death in Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life. So the sin always results in death or loss of fellowship or loss of joy. And it's important at this moment to be rightly related to Him. When we think about all the news reports and all that is happening on social media and TV, it is possible sometimes that we are feeding ourselves and hearing so much of negative things that we may make the current virus an idol in our lives, that we are fearful of it. But we need to focus on the Lord and not focus on so much on what is happening around us. Yes, we have to be aware of what is happening around us, but we don't have to be preoccupied with it. And lastly, we can look forward to the future, the promises to be fulfilled. Yes, we believe that God will hear our prayer for our nation and for the world, and this lockdown will close. We believe that one day we will meet again, and we will again worship Him, and we will hug each other and shake hands and fellowship with one another and be together. God will answer many promises in the future. Many promises He will fulfill to us. And we are not only looking forward to that, but we are also looking forward to heaven itself. In Matthew 25:21, the master told the servant, enter into the joy of the Lord because of good stewardship. You know, heaven itself is going to be a very, very joyful, very, very beautiful event, right? When the rapture happens, or if some of us are taken home to be with the Lord before the rapture happens, it's going to be beautiful, right? In 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul says, I went to the third heavens and I cannot describe it with words. It is going to be like in 1 Peter 1:8, it's going to be unspeakable joy. Joy which cannot be expressed with human words when we finally see the Lord. And that's what we are looking for. Amen? That's what we are looking for. Many verses in the Bible talks about the Lord is at hand. The Lord is coming. You know, be ready. The Lord is at hand. And even the communion, do this as often as you do it till I come. Right? We are looking for the Lord's coming. And that is our glorious hope. And we can look forward to that. So, in closing today, let's be encouraged. As you are in your home, whether you're alone in your home, or whether you're with family, or whether you're in the dorm with the dorm people, or whatever the situation is, you and I, we can have joy. Amen? We can have joy because of what God has done on the cross. given us salvation, what God has done with past blessings. We can have joy in the present because of our relationship with Him. We can commune with Him. We can have joy because of being able to pray and worship and come boldly to His presence and receive from Him. And He is a well which never runs dry. In Isaiah 12, 1 to 3, we are drawing from the wells of salvation. We are drawing with joy. And God will give us a supply, and His supply will never end. And we can be people who are joyful people. Amen. We can get up with joy. We can spend the day with joy. We can sleep with joy. And we can rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, we can rejoice. Let's pray. Father, we really thank You for this evening. We really thank You, Lord. We pray for our country today. We pray that You would protect us from this coronavirus. You would protect every member of our church, Lord, from this coronavirus. We pray You would protect our city, Bangalore city, from this virus. You would protect our state, Karnataka. You would protect our country, Lord. You would help the Prime Minister and all health agencies, Lord, that there would be a cure for it. There would be a vaccine for it, Lord. You would give the doctors wisdom how to treat. We pray that we would not go into phase 3 of the virus, that it would be contained, Lord. We pray for the world today, for China, for America, for Italy, for Spain, and many, many countries where it has affected, Lord. We pray You would have mercy, Lord. Your word says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if My people humble themselves and call and repent and pray, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And on behalf of our nations, our country, we pray, Lord, for Your mercy. Yes, Lord. Give us joy, Lord, in our hearts. Give us patience to endure the lockdown, Lord. Yes, and pray, Lord, that we would get back to normal as soon as possible. Thank You for Your loving kindness to each one of us. Thank You for the internet, Lord. Thank You for this opportunity, Lord, to hear Your word through the internet, for our phones, for our laptops, for the broadband connections, for the people here, Vijay Pentapalli and Agilesh and Obeth and Rajkumar, who have helped, and Pastor Benny and different others, Father. And thank You, Lord. Really, we want to thank You. We want to worship You. Fill our hearts with joy, Lord. Joy unspeakable, Lord. Knowing that You love us, knowing that we are Your children, knowing that You care for us. We worship You, Lord. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a beautiful evening and a beautiful week.